I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for today, Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. Please set your phones on stun and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, please call the roll.
Here.
Here.
Anthony Brunner, absent. Sarah Simmons, absent. Dave Capuano.
Here.
Ron Blaker.
Present.
Willie Baker.
Here. All right, so we have a quorum, thin one, but nonetheless a quorum. Next item is the approval of the minutes from November 8th, 2017. Modifications, changes, questions, motions, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the minutes for November the 8th, 2017.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
At the last meeting, I made some comments that I would like to see reflected inside of the minutes as it relates to the not having the knowledge of the land modification. I made a few points to that that are absent here. I can say in particular, when I called a point of order regarding not knowing that it was on the agenda, I would like that added to it, please.
So is there specific language that you'd like to put through, or are you asking that Mrs. Lambert review the tape to be able to document those specific statements?
Yes, that Ms. Lambert review the tape to add those specific language after it was moved and seconded. Thank you.
Sure. Any other corrections, changes? If there's a motion and second, all those in favor with the modification by Commissioner Whitaker, say aye.
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 Opposed? Put those in there. And Mrs. Lambert, when that's done, could you make those and distribute those to everybody, please? Chairman's report. It's December 2017, and our board is getting more green. So I'm going to make this one quick because it's the holidays, and there's a particular reason that we'll move through this. But on a man-made project, if maintenance isn't done, things are challenged. Also, please keep in mind that this is a project designed by the Army Corps of Engineers as a flood control project with a local sponsorship to which we're trying to control Mother Nature. So if we get 10 gallons of water in our 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have some challenges. However, we do know that we're far better prepared today than we were in the past. Things are continuing to change and evolve from where we started when we came on board after that flood of 2008. A lot of things are being talked about that are less inclined about what we're dealing with as far as flood control. However, we're going to continue to focus on what our charge is, and is to make sure that we protect the community as a whole throughout the watershed from even events like that ever occur again. Next up is the finance report with the approval of the claims for 2017. We need a motion, I've learned, before we can talk about that. So who's going to help with that?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the claims for December 2017.
Second.
So there's a motion and a second for approval of the claims in the amount of $516,030.19. Mr. Repe, anything in particular you'd like to point out?
I'm just going to go through some of the larger ones, and then if I miss something that's exciting, then certainly I'll take the question. I'll start from the bottom up. We'll go Cynthia Ramos. We paid her almost $90,000 for the property on Lake Station so that we can start engineering and constructing the levee over there in that neck of the woods. We reimbursed Lake County Parks $23,899 for trees for our tree program. Our budget for the tree program is $150,000. We also did Munster Parks for $11,160. All communities that we meet with during the advisory board are told of these programs so that they can go back to their community and come back. And we tell them that we like it to be planted in open spaces as opposed to you know, some parks, they like to do the, you know, the between the curb and the sidewalk, whatever, that's the easy
parkway.
Yeah, we're not into that because it just gets into too complicated and I've got to go travel looking for these trees. So it's generally parks in
the... Are you watering them or what?
That's a part of the maintenance program.
It's part of the service that you
not
provide.
Me. I can't water my own grass, so I'm really going to be struggling. So
sorry.
That's okay. It's a little levity in December. Reimbursement to Lake County Surveyor's Office. I'm going to actually get into a couple of claims for $35,000. That's lateral six. That's the blockage that we've talked about for many years, or at least a couple of years, a lot of months, regarding the water off of I-65. We entered into an agreement to not to exceed $75,000 on that project. And the way it works, it's difficult because you'll see Wiltshire excavating up there on top for $45,500 and then $28,000. The way it was broken down was some of those are regulated drains and some of those are not regulated drains. And so the way we had to bill it was if it was regulated, we billed it to the county. If it was unregulated, we billed it to us. And that's why you see the breakdown as it went. It was over a month-long project. We took out roughly 19 beavers. We dropped the water considerably for those of you that have been there. Some of them spoke with the railroad themselves to add another culvert to get underneath. Right now there's only one. So the way the water goes, it goes underneath from the cemetery, Evergreen Park Cemetery, it goes south underneath the railroad, then it goes west towards Bailey School, and then it ends up over there. So I know Tom was out there, a couple of you guys I'm sure drove by. So for basically a month long, those are the three claims that we have, and I can tell you that there are a lot of happy people. We have some small restoration to do in the Shirley Hines property off of Liverpool, but we hope to get that resolved. But we've got a good head start on fixing a major problem that has affected and plagued that area in a long time. So Aerial Solutions, as I said in the session earlier, they started flying last Friday. They flew Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They flew Monday. They didn't fly yesterday or today, but they're flying Friday, Saturday and Sunday for the whole drone that operation and survey. They're up to Klein Avenue now, and they're heading on to areas that we've done in June before. So that's some excitement. Met with American Structure Point regarding the sewer on the east side of Broadway. They're almost done with that. They're going to come up with a price estimate on how to fix it. Their idea right now, I believe, was to go underneath the river, not go over the top of it. So once they come up with a plan, then we'll have to find some funding. There could be some federal funding available for that out there. Patrick Engineering for $19,440. They're well on their way for their bridge design. I signed all the permits for IDEM and DNR. And they're still on schedule to bid out here in the spring for construction, starting late spring, early summer. The total cost of that bridge right now will be about $3.5 million. But that also drops the elevation 3.5 feet on one side of the river. So good thing for Deep River. Gary, North Levy, all the paving, all the recreational trails are done except for some fencing issues and some bollards. We have to buy some new locks and chains because it's hunting season, as Jody and I both know, because hunters are now required to come through our office and seek permission. And we're trying to use them as the policing agency, the people that we allowed, so that people don't knock over our bollards and cut chains and cut fences and knock off the locks. So we are done with the paving, minus just some minor fencing issues that we have to deal with. And then the parcel data fee for $3,300, that's in order for us to get it to the auditor's office so that when it appears in your tax bill, it appears as correct as possible. Because of the many times that people combine their parcels and then they separate, subdivide, we have to be in constantly merge the files to make sure that we are assessing them correctly and we get that amount. So I think I hit all the big ones that are...
Okay, we still got the motion and the second as it relates to paying the claims. Dan's done a job of going through some of those. Is there any other questions as it relates to this particular month's request for dollars? Either none. Motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
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 Yes. All right, Dan, just leapfrog into the executive director's report. So with regards to some of those things, I'll start with one having to do with sanitary next to Broadway's bridge. When, I mean, on those that are outstanding, how are we tracking, other than our project tracker report, which I like, how much longer before they're done with their part of the work as far as the design component?
I met with them last Wednesday. They told me that they have to finalize their plans with Gary Sanitary District to make sure that, I mean, it's ultimately Gary Sanitary District's line, and they want to make sure the design or their theory of design will work in their eyes and their maintenance, because they have to ultimately take this over. So I would imagine sometime you would see, after the first of the year, sort of a plan or at least an estimate as what this will cost. Now, depending on the cost, you know, our discussions with Gary Sanitary District, how this is going to work, I don't know. I mean, their plan is actually to replace it from that location all the way up into 94, where it goes to 94. That's just the way, because of the car wash there, that's there, because of different things that they have to work through, that's just the way they have to run it. I mean, there is, I've got my federal partner here someplace, there is federal dollars for projects like this for sanitary lines that it may be available to them on a separate, outside of our regular project scope.
Okay, but they're not going to look at it as far as federal dollars until there's some kind of a design that's been signed off as far as moving forward, right?
Right, because Gary Sanitary has signed off.
Because we were just worried about it being so low to the water line that someone's going to hit it, it causes problems, and if that opens up, we've got a big environmental issue.
That's
so now all of a sudden we're going all the way to the past the Borman on it?
No, not to the Borman.
To the Borman.
The way that they have to pitch it and to have it graded out to make it work so that they don't need another lift station. My understanding. I don't have the exact plans. It was just a general discussion of what we're looking for and how we're going to...
The perfect world solution and the region solution. So maybe we have two.
Well, let's see.
All right. 10-4. So, I mean, that was one. And then as it relates to the other designs in Hobart having to do with the railroad, are those... How close are we on those? Or is that part of your...
We're close. The railroad is signed off on everything that Patrick has given them. We've taken those plans, and if you see Department of Natural Resources for $200, that's our permit fee that we have to send down there with it. So we have signed the permits for the design, for the project, and they're waiting for their approval. Once they give their approval, then we would be ready to bid.
Okay, I'll let you finish your report. I'm getting ahead of you. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's sort of fun.
Yeah.
The SCADA system that we're installing for us is not fully complete. They're actually, and thankfully probably, they're working on the last station, which is Burr North, which is actually the only enclosed building, which is probably good with this the temperatures the way they've been. However, it did work for us even before it was complete. On Burr South, when we had that big windstorm 2 weeks ago when the cold front came through, knocked out power, got the text messages on my phone. We were able to go out there, reset the whole system. And so it will be a valuable asset. I will tell you, as I told you before, I would have had no reason to go out there prior to that unless I got an alert that said that was out. And for some reason, you know, the power tripped, and we were able to fix the problem. We still intend to acquire real estate for the project that we need to finish this project. We're also doing Lake Station acquisition, as well as looking to acquire the property across the way from the Lake Station easement, which is currently owned by the school city of Gary. So we're working on doing that. The drone survey, as I mentioned before, is ongoing currently. We have three. I think we have three. Do we have all three students here? Oh, just two. Our three students here did their senior project. I sent you guys all the information. Tom was able. I know a lot of people got hung up. But they finished. More importantly, they graduated, so now they get to pay their student loans back. But it was a great presentation. I bit them somehow with their AV because the projector didn't work. I'm sorry for showing up for doing that to you guys, but we'll hopefully maybe, if they don't find gainful employment here soon, they still may be able to present that findings at least to us in a meeting in the future. So congratulations to them. Pedestrian bridge over Chase's keep going, as well as the grade adjustment at Clark. You guys did motion to authorize me to advertise for the 35th and Chase, which
haven't done it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I was getting ahead of myself. So you're going to authorize
me. Hey, it's fun that way, though.
Well, it is. You're going to authorize me to bid out or at least advertise. I said hopefully 35th and Chase so that we can start construction on that. And then Harrison Bridge, which is right by, I always forget that stadium.
Lisa Gilroy.
Gilroy Stadium, thank you. Bad memory, had injury. And we'll hope to do that here this spring as well. Working with NIPSCO on easements for their new pipeline. They do their pipeline expansion. Last summer they worked through Munster and Highland, and now they're working into Griffith and Gary. So a lot of that property they have to sort of work through us. And then we have a whole bunch of hunting on our land, so hopefully they find the big one. And that's all I have.
All right, questions for Mr. Repay. What's going on in the field?
Yeah, Mr. Rebate, the last part you just mentioned about Gary going to the Griffin area.
I sort of
missed that.
There's a pipeline, and I want to say it's 14-inch, 16-inch gas line that they have been, it's a part of their master capital improvement project. They started actually on the state line, I believe, near Munster. They went near the hospital. They went through Hart's Ditch. They concluded someplace in Highland, and I don't know exactly where they terminated. I think it was right by the Rookery. But then now they're starting to move into areas that we own property or we're close to owning property. They are working with us, especially in the property which is between Clark and Chase, because it cuts through the in-project mitigation that we have, and we have to figure out a way that they can get their pipeline through without disrupting, if possible, the in-project mitigation that's ongoing right now. So. It's a dance that we have to do with them to make it acceptable to their engineers and acceptable to the Army Corps and acceptable to us ultimately. So okay. I don't know if you know this or not, or you may pass it by and don't realize it, but there is an actual station for NIPSCO's pipeline that's located inside the river, just off the west side of Grant. It's a green building.
I see that all the time.
So you don't even recognize what it is. Well. Certainly, they want to get that building out of the river, so that they're looking to locate it outside of that river, outside of our levee, which is probably good for them and good for us as well. So
they have to be south.
It's gonna be south. They just don't know if they're gonna go down their normal easement that they have along the high transmission lines. Mm-hmm. They're trying to keep it out of the water because pipelines tend to float when they have water on top of them. So then you have big explosions, and that's not good. So it's I'm dealing with the real estate department trying to figure out a way to do it, and then Natalie, I'm sure, will tell you about the discussions that she's had with them regarding how they have to get it through, if at all possible, the mitigation site.
So this is clear through the border
of Porter County? It terminates our last segment that I've seen that they've designed. It terminates at Grant Street at that station.
Oh.
Now, from there, I believe it runs north and south, and then it continues east and west.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what we have now in front of us, we've been meeting on this for 2 years, they've just, they terminated at Grant Street.
Okay. And I saw some preliminary work being done for the design of the pedestrian bridge at Chase. Can they get a timeline on I think we're going to be ready then?
I would say spring, because it's the soil borings that are going to drive it, which we've done. If you see the Oros claim for $6,800,
mm-hmm.
if you've been down at Chase, there was those big cement concrete barriers that we put up.
Right.
Beyond anybody's imagination, somehow three of them got pushed into the water.
Again?
No.
Oh.
So that we had to fish them out, and then we moved a couple of the barriers to continue the pedestrian track. Because if you are on Chase Street, on the east side of Chase is what used to be the old pedestrian walkway over the street when the street was there. So what we're doing is just replicating that and putting the bridge over the top. And the bridge will be a metal base, and then you will fill it with concrete, pouring it into it with the rebar, and it'll be large enough for a bike or two, but not large enough for a vehicle, although...
Similar to the one by Wicker Park?
Yeah, but it's not going to be wood. And the reason why we chose not to do wood is because the wood, it will deteriorate.
Cool. You got to take care of it.
We need a little bit more sturdier...
People push it in the river.
Yeah, that'd be a bad thing.
You think it'll be steel?
It's gonna be steel.
Yeah. Isn't that, aren't all of the other ones of similar design?
But they have the you can have the wood deck, or you can have the...
Oh, so you're talking about the deck.
Yeah.
Careful.
This one's concrete.
This one's gonna be concrete.
Excuse me. Dan?
Yes?
Regarding the student's video, I'd like to see if we can schedule that for next month. It's good to see they have the millennial generation being involved in environment and what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than a video. It's a whole presentation. So I just screwed up the video because I was there and I cursed them. But if I work with their, I have to see what their schedules are like, but if we can do it, and I know, and their professor, Chandra, was trying to do it as well. I think we were going to try to look at some things and analyze it a little bit further and then present it. So if January works for them, that's fine with me.
Well, if you give me enough notice, I would like to notify some students from different educational areas to come so they can be involved and be interested to see what we do and what they're doing. I mean, that is a new generation.
Yeah, believe it or not, we're all getting older.
Exactly right.
And I think this is the fourth senior project that has done a portion of the Little Kennet River.
Very good.
It started in 2010. I think they did 12, 15, and this is 17. Let's see if I can see if I'm right. Look at that.
Good.
Head injury isn't that bad.
Was the presentation filmed?
No.
I don't think anybody got the whole thing. Probably
not,
no.
That was Dan's job.
No, it wasn't. If that was the case, you're in trouble.
Yeah, in the future, that'd be nice. Maybe we could talk to...
like a FaceTime and something like that.
Yeah.
Look at Roman.
Technology.
Maybe he can help.
Yeah, Roman there.
Facebook Live it. There he is. He'd be happy
technology,
to help.
Technology, not me.
Okay.
Somebody at the commercialization
side. I mean, what was something that was gleaned from that might be worth putting in front of the board tonight from that presentation?
Well, you were there. What do you think? I mean, we were talking... It was... The basis of it was, and I'm not... And I'm going to screw this up, is the high flow channel and where it flows and trying to put the 2008 event into it now that we've done the high velocity channel.
I mean, so at Hart and Little Kennet Wicker.
That's the tease. Am I...
Right.
I paid attention, right? I did.
Okay, anything else for Mr. Repay as it relates to his executive director's report? Yep, moving right along. Ms. Mills, Army Corps of Engineers, what's going on in the world of our federal government? Nice to see you.
Good to see you as well. Thank you. Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We have the construction project progress reports for the ongoing projects. So first I'll address Hobart Marsh wetland mitigation. So they're just continuing to do tree removal work, herbiciding, fencing, and they're just going to continue that well into January according to their schedule and seeding in February. So they're just rolling on that one. So one note on page 2, we have reference to the... hazard trees under PDT issues, well, no, but under that number one, rather, and it says receipt of proposals is imminent. So we did receive the proposals. Last time I reported that we thought the government it'd be about $150,000. I can't say what the proposal amount is because they may have to negotiate, but we did receive it, and once they're done with that, I'll have a number for you. So that's it on Hobart. On Hammond, there is nothing to update with respect to the work itself, because the only thing remaining for them is seeding, which are the grass. So that'll have to be, you know, back into the spring when they'll be able to see if they have to do another seeding. But I did receive comments from Star, who's FEMA's consultant, on the 7th. So they have a couple of comments for us that they would like us to address. Nothing significant. I'm going to have a call with Dan and Bill Rochford tomorrow, because they've asked us to include an emergency action plan as part of the O&M manual. So just working with Dan to just make sure that we're in alignment with what we propose to put in the plan. Another thing,
is that challenge the one that you've already prepared as far as the part of the federal flood control project? I thought there was already O&M as part of our manual.
There is. We already have those, like you said, the flood books.
Yeah.
So we're going to see if we can just utilize those.
So that level of the government wants the other level of the government to modify something they already did 10-4.
Sure. And then another thing they'd like to see is the stop logs to be practiced annually. We don't necessarily have that annually, but I think that's something that I would assume that you guys would be willing to do if that's going to be like one of the conditions of receipt of the LOMAR. Those stop logs were pretty quick to install. So just a couple things we're going to go over tomorrow. So I did get from STAR that it will take up to 180 days.
Really?
Yes.
To do what? I'm sorry, Ms. Mills. To change the paperwork?
Yes, to do the actual, to receive the actual loan. I did ask if we realized any benefits in actually executing the CLOMAR. I thought we would save a little bit more time. And they said we did save more time, so I guess it would have been longer without it. But that's what it is.
I looked at this. Is there just one place with these stop logs?
Two.
Two. Okay. I took a photo. Are these just logs? Are these pieces of wood?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They're like railroad ties.
Yeah.
Right?
And just, yeah, and just stack them on top of each other.
They're not.
Yes.
It takes 10 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not 180 days?
I'm just saying about installing it.
Oh, okay. All right, any other questions for Ms. Mills? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you all. Have a merry Christmas.
I do it before you leave, maybe. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Does this affect the flood relief?
Yes.
But last time you told me we would get a response from FEMA within 90 days.
That is what I was told initially.
And when we submitted to FEMA, did we submit the plan?
What do you mean the plan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I provided back in October.
Right.
The as-built from this current contract. Because that was the comment from the CLOMAR, was submit your as-built drawings. And then there was a letter that was required indicating that the commission would do the O&M. So submitted that. And then I got an email back and said, thank you. It could be 90 days. And then we had that meeting last week. Well, there was a meeting, and then they followed up with these formal comments. And so during the meeting, they mentioned like 120, and then they said 180. And then I put an email just for clarification. I just want to make sure I understand what you guys were saying. How many days? And that's when they said 180. Could be shorter, but they have to have two public comment periods.
Is this new?
I wasn't aware of that. So,
But I don't have a lot of experience with Lomars, admittedly. But I mean, I gave you all the 90 days because that's what I was told in writing.
They have everything they need now, with the exception of this EM
plan. Well, they had a couple of questions that we have to address, but nothing that will take too long. So, I mean, once they have that responses to their questions, there were three questions, then they would have everything.
Ms. Mills, Mr. Ripe gave us a brief overview of the ongoing saga that is crediting. Is there anything that you could lend light to as far as the light at the end of the tunnel after 30-something years?
There's a light, and it's not just a little, it's a big light. We know, remember I updated you all that we credited $3.3 million last time. So the other big pieces that are out there is the NDOT credits. That's about 12 plus million dollars. So we've already looked at those credits for, I mean, we know what the numbers are going to be. We know that work was done. I mean, obviously, we know that those are good credits. So what's prohibiting us from being able to provide credits is that we need this agreement. Basically, there has to be an agreement in place between NDOT and the commission, basically saying, you know, if we're going to tear up the expressway that you guys are using as part of this project, we'll let you know. It's basically the gist of it. But, you know, we've got our attorneys, they've got their attorneys, and so just trying to get agreement in the language. So from what I was told last week or 2 weeks ago, we're supposed to get from NDOT the agreement, a draft agreement on the 20th is what I was told, of December. The goal was to have this agreement completed by the end of the year, is what we have been tracking for several months now.
I'll take the over.
It's not funny.
Take the over.
I mean, I think the 20th is very optimistic just because...
So that gets us a letter between the two groups, the federal government and the state of Indiana, with regards to the expressway. Mm-hmm. And then what?
And then Dan will submit a package for credit. And then,
to you?
Yes. But, I mean, we've already seen the package already, so just minus the agreement.
Is it a similar process to those processes that we've experienced since I've met the Army Corps of Engineers after that event?
I think it's far greater than those experiences that you had at that time.
Okay.
I think that through those NDOT credits and through some meetings that we've had with our division offices, we have an improved system on how we're going to treat these credits. And I believe that agreement is the last piece for us to be able to award those $12 million in credits.
Dan, is it your opinion that that's the piece of paper I've been asking for the last 4 years?
Well, I mean, 12, 13, 14 million dollars is a lot. Yeah,
it is a lot of money, but that'll be the piece of paper.
Right, there's three, I mean, there's, at a crediting standpoint, there's three general topics that are outstanding. There's the utilities with
utility relocations.
Relocation. You have those real estate ones that we have to pick up at your pump stations, the 31 parcels and Griffith Golf Course, and then the biggest one, and I mentioned Griffith Golf Course,
Indot
is the largest of those two. I mean, if you look at a real estate, it's probably $900,000, roughly. I think the utility relocations are $3, $4 million. So,
which we've already credited three.
Yeah.
3.3.
So it's just a little bit of a gap there.
So is that, when you say you've already credited, is that going to be in the cumulative paperwork at the end, or there's three separate, you know, pieces of paper that will go into infamy as being...
Yeah, it goes from good faith to being credible. And once it's credible, 95% of the time it doesn't come from credible and back to good faith anymore.
I see that.
Thank you. Anything else from Ms. Mills? Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. We'll do that at the end. All right, next up on the agenda are other issues and new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the executive director to advertise for the bids on the 35th Avenue and Chase Street grade adjustment project. Now, this particular project consists of raising the grade of 35th Avenue to match the elevation of the existing levee as it crosses 35th Avenue. This work will include filling, grading, asphalt paving, retaining wall construction, and draining improvements.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Some discussion, Mr. Repay. Is that a pretty good synopsis? There's another good thing that happens out of this. What is it?
That's a good synopsis. Well, it's one less closure that the city of Gary has to put together.
The city doesn't have to throw sandbags.
It's not a sandbag closure. It's a postal panel.
This is the one that slides.
Correct. And so once we get rid of that, that's one less thing that happens. And it's easier to protect not only the 911 tower, the other cell tower, the public safety building that is for the city of Gary, ultimately the transportation center. So this was one of the earlier closures that we have to do. So getting rid of this would be fantastic.
Do you have an engineering estimate?
What do I carry in the thing? I am carrying $500,000 for this project. Although I shouldn't say that really out loud, because now anybody that was wanting to bid on that project is going to sort of guess at what that number is. So
yeah, you could give it my range.
Ish. There you go. So we'll delete that from the.
Nobody listens anyway.
All right.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion on this one? This is just to provide the executive director the opportunity to go out and advertise for bids. And how do we advertise for bids again, Dan, in the quick view?
It'll be in the Times, the Post, the Gary Crusader, and it will ultimately be on our website under a little.
And all done by the same rules as the state of Indiana?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, anything else? Motion and second. Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Yes. All right.
Moving right along. Mr. Chairman, I want to make a motion to approve Resolution 2017-11 and the corresponding interlocal agreement with the Lake County Parks Department for the Shursus land acquisition watershed application in the amount of $82,250, which we approved at the last meeting.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Repay, real quick.
For all the next three, this will just confirm what was already approved in the meeting. We worked with the agency to get these resolutions and the interlocal agreements. We have them both signed, and then I go record them at the recorder's office, and we have them on file.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay on this one? Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Mr. Chairman, I want to make a motion that we approve Resolution 2017-12 and the corresponding interlocal agreement with the Lake County Parks Department for the Costakis Curtis land acquisition watershed application in the amount of $11,625.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Repay, they talked about it. Any questions with regards to that? Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2017-13 and the interlocal agreement with the Town of Munster for the SCADA system proposal in the amount of $50,000.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Repay, real quick.
This is for the monitoring of the backup generators that Munster had put in 2009, 2010. So this will allow them to keep track, similar to what they did for me, keep track of if the power went out. This will keep track of.
You mean for the commission's pump stations in Gary?
Correct. Okay. Sorry.
Not your house.
No.
Oh,
well, I mean, I could. It's a joke.
Withdraw.
Withdraw that, too.
Okay. So this is just not for the pump stations in and of themselves, because those are controlled by the Hammond Sanitary District. This is just for the backup generators that the town of Munster put in, servicing those individual stations. How many stations?
I believe there's 12 to 14.
12 to 14-ish. All right, any other questions? Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
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 Yes. All right. Moving right along. Next up, believe it or not, is statements to the board from the floor. My favorite part, if you'd like to help us make sure something like that never happens again, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and let's do it. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Sandy O'Brien from Hobart. Good evening, all of you. I want to thank you for supporting the Lake County Parks land acquisition for land that's kind of wetland and holds water and doesn't cause a problem. It actually helps. And working on the pedestrian bridge at 35th and Chase, that is an important connection to long sections of trail that you couldn't get across before once they took the road out. That was good too. And moving along on Hobart Marsh, I'm glad to see that's it's doing well. The contractors seem to be hardworking and keep at it. And I also wanted to ask how the funding is looking for that Hobart project that I am not too happy with, because it's a Hobart ditch and drain project through West Hobart, and it goes through a bunch of natural areas. Most of the money in the project is for sewer piping, storm sewer piping, and I don't object to that. I only object to the stuff that would put a huge two-arm ditch and a main trunk through a whole, like 100 acres of natural area, which doesn't deserve that. And it's for a little benefit, because there's not much upstream of that that needs draining that couldn't be drained another way. So how is that project coming along? I haven't seen that it's being funded. Are you still considering it?
Which one are you talking about?
Is this the one, what's it called? Stinky Creek.
It's the one that was put out there.
Yeah.
And they want $500,000 a year for 10 years, for $5 million altogether. So you're still thinking about it? Well, unfortunately, it wouldn't save a ton of money not doing the ditch, but it would save a ton of ecological wealth if you don't do the ditch.
Isn't a bunch of people flooding there because of the setup that they're currently dealing with?
Well, the flooding is generally downstream of the ditch.
Everything there was flat. That's the problem.
Right. But the land that's upstream, the natural area is upstream. It's at the far west end of the project. Mm-hmm. Everything else is downstream, like the railroad culvert and the exit, you know, the water that goes under the railroad, that's the bottleneck. And if you resolve that, then the people in the neighborhoods are not going to be flooding. And then the people upstream, you know, they're living in houses built in the wetland anyhow, but it's possible that they could drain it another way without having to do this ditch.
Have you talked to the folks in Hobart about the engineering and how it's designed? Because we're more of the funding component than we are the design component.
They are not very ecologically friendly, and they really don't want to say anything.
My question still stands, Sandy. Did you ask the question of the people that are designing it?
Well,
I know, I mean, that was more of an editorial response.
Right,
I'm asking you if you asked that specific question on a specific project to the people who are designing it.
I asked Bob Fulton, and he said they didn't have the information and that they wouldn't have it for however long. And he didn't invite any public comment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. Lori Zolno, 7142 Forest in Hammond. I guess I don't have to say I'm disappointed at 180 days plus the 45-ish days that we've already got into it. I'll be glad to keep coming to the meetings. Would you just let my people go? Or I'll stop coming to the meetings. Just let my people go.
How many people are still having to pay the mandatory flood insurance as a part of their mortgage because of this situation?
About 20 households.
20 households. Averaging what? We talked about, what, 1,800 a year?
Somewhere between 18 and 25. I don't know. Somebody handed you 18 to 25 a year. I'm guessing you could find something fun to do with it.
Well, we put another $4 million already into the budget of the community across every year by doing this already. These are the last 20, and it's taking a significant amount of time, but the importance cannot be overlooked because it needs to get pushed over the line. And I don't know how else to do it. You sit in the same meetings I do.
I know, and I appreciate the commission's efforts. I guess it's time to go back to Washington and write some letters and see if we can't push from the other direction.
Provided they have all the information, that's probably the next step, is to push that button.
Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful holiday. Safe New Year.
Anybody else? Wow. Moving right along. Okay, Mr. Castellanos, what have you to say to the great people of the community?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving me this opportunity. One thing I'd like to say is that I want to thank the commission and the veterans last month. On November the 10th, we had a decorated Marine Colonel, Lynn Lauder, and a judge, Colonel of the Marines. And we also had Colonel Ligon, who also worked with the Army Corps of Engineers from the National Guard. And we had another Colonel Daggett in honor of the Veterans Day on a program we had. And it was really well received, and the reception was well received. And we had a number of Korean veterans and Vietnam veterans come to the reception that we had at the baseball stadium following the show. And it was very good. And I want to thank you all for supporting that and participating in that. And that was it. The other thing is I wanted to make a mention is that considering from our last month's meeting that we had, there was evidently a formal debate between me and one of the commissioners regarding the purchase and sale of the land. And I just wanted to let you know that I didn't have my material at the time. But this is in regards to the issue of the land management license agreements that so dear to me in regards to economic development for Northeast Indiana, and especially for Gary. And I'm referring to the chapter of Little Calumet River Basin Development, chapter Indiana Code 14-13-2. And getting back down to the general provisions of the powers, it says here that we can acquire by grant, purchase, gift, devise, lease amount, domain, otherwise hold or use, and sell, lease, and dispose of real estate and personal property, in the city, in our area. So we can sell as well as lease land. And I just wanted to make sure that that goes onto the record because that's very important as we move forward to future developments. The other thing I wanted to compliment to just on this, too, is that I'd like to know if we can get a record of a license of agreements of land that we've had here since I came on board. Also, I'd like to see if I can get has there ever been a history of conveyance of property that we've had since, from this particular board? And is there any historical disposition of land? That's basically it. And the other thing I would like to also compliment before I leave is that fact that, as far as Ms. Sandy O'Brien, I want to compliment you. I've seen you on the TV for the government channel participating with the city of Gary and some of the other municipalities. And I'd like to suggest that those students back there would get together with you. I think they can learn a lot because that is the next generation. And I think they're going to help us carry forward to keeping our area safe and productive. And that's it. And by the way, I'd like to also wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa too. Happy Merry Christmas, and happy Ramadan. Hope I got everybody. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Gazdecki.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to wish everybody in the audience and a safe and happy holiday season. Be careful out there. Look out for the bad guys.
Mr. Wyszynski.
I will build on Mr. Gizdecki's Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and I do want to comment. I've been monitoring the work that we've done in Lateral 6 and along with our partners, and I think seeing that all drained out is music to my ears and eyes. Can't wait for the spring so we can really get that place cleaned up.
Mr. Whitaker.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. It's been a pretty long year, and we seem to have gotten a lot accomplished, and it looks like we got a lot more accomplished. Some of the things we've talked about is in looking at the projects for 2018, that there are quite a bit of projects that we actually have for 2018. Some very important projects that we talked about throughout the year, and one of the more recent ones that was actually approved tonight for the bids to go out for Chase Street. Mr. Chair, I'd like to see us put eventually, as most or I guess all governmental entities that I know, intentionally they tend to put forth a budget, and I think that will be something that's prudent on our part if we, at the end of the year, during the fourth quarter, we actually had a budget that sort of gave us some guidance that we actually approved going into the new year annually. And I know that we sit down and we talk about things that we have on record and things that we talk about and approve, like the motion for the bids for 35th and Chase. But it would help if we had a budget though going forward, sort of a compass, so to speak. The other thing is, with the last meeting that occurred, again, with the land management, I would like to see us for receiving inquisitions for land that we have some type of a process that we put in place when folks want to inquire about land. I'm not exactly sure what that necessarily looks like, whether that's a party outside of us or a party within us. But I think that at this time, with the interest levels that we have, whether it's an interest to acquire and that would require us to sell, whether it would be an interest for us to lease or to enter into a licensing agreement, I would like to see us, for new applicants, put something in place. We have folks that are current right now. We have folks that have already inquired. But I think that we need, for new applicants, new folks that are interested in properties, so that there is no ambiguous process on our part, and one person has information that another person has, and someone else has an interest that another person doesn't have, and it just keeps everything more so at arm's length in terms of how we proceed with receiving inquisitions for properties. So I would like to see us develop some type of a criteria for receiving, or how we receive them, and I think we can do that without a motion being made. But if a motion is necessary, maybe we should make one in order to do it. But I think that it's very important that we do that. And the last thing that I would like to say, we sort of drug our feet on it. We've approved applications, and there are municipalities as well as folks like the Lake County. Who was at the Lake County Parks tonight, application that we approved for. But again, we have some criteria in place, but there were some things that we talked about throughout the year. And this is sort of things that we sort of left out in the parking lot that we didn't really bring resolution to, such as criteria for receiving applications, how often an applicant can apply, what thresholds may actually exist for an applicant. How much in a rolling 12-month period? Those are things that we need to give consideration for. And I think that it's prudent on our part to close out that particular segment of the conversation that we've delayed resolving. So I would like to see us, and if necessary, I would put forth a motion even now that we move forward with accomplishing that particular task over the next few months so that folks, when they submit, we again are not misleading to them, but they understand the criteria as well as part of the process, part of the overall process for submitting an application for I don't know what we call these types of projects or if we have a acquisition for watershed or watershed applications. So if we have that included in the overall watershed application process on the website, so that it's very clear to everyone that wants to inquire.
That's a motion, is that right, you're making?
I mean, I think it's necessary. I mean, it's a motion to put together criteria associated with it for the watershed application.
I learned from you, Mr. Whitaker, that the motions have to be on the agenda.
It's not true, Mr. Chair. I never said that. Now, Robert Rules and Order does allow you to put forth a motion on the new business.
Interesting. Okay. So is that a motion?
Sir.
All right, discussion. Can you quote the motion again, please?
A motion to develop criteria that specifies how often a person, an applicant can apply, thresholds associated with that particular dollar amount as it relates to the watershed application.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Well, I mean, this is an involved process, and we've been dealing with these applications since we started receiving funds. And the application process, to my knowledge, is the applications come in and they go to the advisory board. And the advisory board sits down and vets these applications, and they come to the board. Correct?
I don't want to interject in your discussion, but the process is: we get applications, and we group them together. For instance, we value the advisory board's time; they don't get paid. We group them together. We probably, on average, we have meetings quarterly. So then that's why you get sort of groups of communities. Right now, we're going to have an advisory board in January. We have two from Munster, one from Maryville. There still could be more, but that's sort of the process. And to criteria purposes, because the advisory board's asked us, it's sort of a case-by-case basis. That's how they assume it, and there were no guidelines as to saying you're only limited to $1 million or $5 million, but that's certainly... My only question is, do you want me to develop the criteria? As I know it's only a motion, but do you want me to develop the criteria, or are you guys developing the criteria?
I think it's up for vetting, you know, whether it's developed on our part or whether you develop it, Dan. And, you know, we sit down, review it, and you know, I don't see why it wouldn't work through that process.
So have you reviewed the process currently and you're looking to modify that or regenerate it again?
Well, I think the existing watershed application is the application aspect of it, which I think it's a little bit different than the criteria for submitting an application.
Okay, I mean, isn't submitting the application complete the paperwork and give it to Dan?
That's the application, yes.
Okay. So what's the submittal process? I'm not following.
So would an entity proceed to submit an application if the criteria is not met?
Okay.
Because I don't think we've ever put a stipulation on what people could send to us to be considered, which is basically saying that's a blanket no or yes. they need to prove to us and to the advisory board, which is all the members of the watershed, whether or not the project has merit. But then it comes to us. Is there another step that we want?
So
is that what you're trying to determine?
So a criteria might be, and I'm not picking on any particular town or municipality, might be that, for example, we paid for things this year for a watershed application for work that was basically already done. And that took it out of our hands in terms of the work that was done. We didn't know if we could have got a better price on that particular work, but we actually were doing reimbursement to an application rather than an actual application.
Well, yeah, let's put it on the table. You're talking about Griffith, but I don't want to get into all the minutiae of that project.
No.
But that project goes back to 2009 when they prepared a budget for all the items that needed to be completed in the watershed. So theoretically, that should have never even come in front of us. It should have just been done, part of the project.
Yeah, and the fact that
it's not a water, yes.
And the fact that it did come in front of us and it had the appearance then of reimbursement, whether it was for that project or the Arbogast project, it did. So we're providing, and so can applicants then apply for funds for reimbursement? Do we want applicants applying for funds for reimbursement, or do we want applicants applying for funds for a watershed application project for something that they feel is in the best interest of their community?
Well, Vaughn, I thought we already made that clear that we would not be entertaining anything after the fact anymore. You brought that up several months ago.
Yeah, but so we make it clear,
I think,
by making a statement, or we make it clear by making a motion, or so how do we set course for making things clear then?
In the spirit of the holiday season, I would offer that I would just set up the criteria, the outline, not specifically get into the details of limiting people and dollars, but I will try to put it into a situation where it's an outline to say, here are your different parameters. Are we going to purchase land? We're going to do engineering. We're going to do O&M. Or we do construction. Those are generally the outline that we utilize in the advisory board. But I certainly, you could dispense with the motion. I can put that together, submit that to you guys, and you guys can chop it up like you guys always do for most of my memos. So if that's amenable, I don't know if that's what the intent is. But I can outline what we sort of have given the advisory board for guidelines.
But Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
It seems to me you want to be very careful when you set up the criteria, because you want to retain the flexibility to look at each case on a case-by-case basis. You don't want to hamstring yourself with something that may come back in some fashion and not be appropriate. If for example, something occurred and there was a request for a retroactive payment, I mean, I think every case ought to be looked at on a case-by-case basis, but, you know, if you want to put some parameters together, I think that's fine, as long as you retain the flexibility on each case to change, to do things differently.
You know, and you know, the whole thing with regards to the watershed application was put together as it relates to being able to meet the General Assembly's requirements placed upon us through statute to be able to get the funding that we have. And the goal from initially, and it could always be tweaked, because the only thing, in my opinion, that stays the same is change. So you have to be able to continue to modify that moving forward. Now, whether it be in a motion or not, I mean, we all have our opinions. Maybe we could vote on it and how we handle it. But each individual issue for each individual community is going to be a little bit different. Sometimes there might be an emergency, for example. There's also a situation where we try to be able to be at least one thing consistent, that we were engaging everybody in the watershed to have them be the point person of what's important in their community, and they bring those to us.
and then we can do it case-by-case basis, whomever sits up here, because it'll always change, because that's part of what stays the same. But what will happen is at least the community has some way to feel comfortable that they can come to the board and not have parameters or constraints put on them and what they can and can't ask for. So,
Mr. Chair, I tend to think that every document, whether voted upon, is a living, you know, whether how, no matter how it was generated, it's a living, it's always a living document. And so, you know, whatever may be necessary for modifications or whatever may be necessary for a case-by-case basis based on an emergency, which we've had a few emergencies, you know, that, you know, trying to go through an application process, you know, would be rather laborious relative to the nature of the emergency. So, I don't think that that's with, not without looking at it on a case-by-case basis.
I mean, do you think this is a voting thing or an administrative thing, Mr. Whitaker?
It could be accomplished by the way that Mr. Repay has suggested, I think.
This Roberts guy has a rule, and it says if there's a motion and a second, we're going to have to act on it. So unless the petitioner changes that, withdraws, then we're acting on it. So I'm just pointing that out as well.
So if you rescind your second, you rescind your first, and I just do what I'm supposed to do, we can discuss this January 10th. That's or before.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do is rescind your second, rescind your first, and then we can go.
Or we keep it and we vote.
So no, I think it can be accomplished with you know, the discussion that we had to let Dan, based on the things that we've discussed, take a look at it and see what modifications or what, you know, change could take place in order to everyone to be clear on how we're going to proceed with it.
Okay, Mr. Whitaker, you're still going to have to rescind. Is that the right?
He rescinds the second. He rescinds the first, and then it's a.
Okay. Until I hear that, we're voting on it.
Pardon me?
He said, until we hear that, we're voting on it.
It's a big deal. Falls on me.
It's on you. So you just say I rescind my second.
Well, it depends.
Or you not.
Well, no. I mean. The question is that if we decide to hold this until the next session, I mean, that's what we're in agreement with. I just want to make sure before I do anything.
All I'm going to do is put an outline together. It's not going to be a binding document. It's just going to be my thoughts and my thing. And I'll guarantee you, all of you have no problem taking apart my memo. So that's all it's going to be. And it's going to be a working, living document. Until you guys agree on it or vote on it in a future point.
In the next session.
Whenever, whether it's January, February, however it gets there.
It's not going to be a voidable thing, Dave.
I know what you're saying. Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Give me a minute, all right? All right. Okay, I'll rescind my second. Until next session, January.
All right, so we still have a motion, no second now.
Yeah, so contingent upon us, you know, reviewing the draft that Dan is going to put together and we review, I withdraw my motion for this. Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Okay.
My other comment, Mr. Chair, is peace, goodwill towards all, and everyone be safe in the spirit of Christmas. I certainly want to give congratulations to Purdue University Calumet students for the ambition that you guys portrayed and with your project. I had every intention to be there, but I had some scheduling conflicts. So I do know quite a few professors there in that department, and I am really interested in seeing what you guys have put together, and I look forward to it by whatever means, whether it's Facebook Live or what you guys do here live. So Dan had one job, and that was to record, and he didn't do it. So
well, you know, my AV is still
So I look forward to it on a very serious note. The Tate Singer Design Project's pretty serious. So, and then I really do hope that this is expedited, if it's expeditable, a whole 180-day review period, and hopefully it, I'm looking forward to it being moved along and expedited for the residents of Hammond. And that's about it. Wishing everybody the best.
Mr. Wicklin.
Nothing to add.
All right. Last one will be me. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Appreciate not only you helping us move this forward, but the individuals sitting up here and staff who continue to help make sure things like that don't happen again. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a Happy Hanukkah. And I'm calling it.
So moved.